This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
A pet swan named Pooh. Yeah.
Now, that's remarkable.
Get out of here.
Wait, a chicken has an earlobe?
The color of the earlobe?
How else are they going to wear earrings?
That's why, you never saw Dick Clark and Fidel Castro at the same time either.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. Trivia Friday it is, and in studio with me is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Bert Harper. How you doing, Brother Bert?
Good morning. Doing good, Tim.
And so, Bert, you're filling in. Where's JJ today?
He is with his family. You know, his daughter's back in town,
I
know he's spending a lot of time with her.
Yeah, their daughter, Maddie.
Kenya is where she's a missionary there and teaching in that school. And just got to come home for the they get a month off there. And so she was able to come home. It's easier for her to come home than JJ and Melanie to go over there, they decided.
Kenya. Yeah, I could see how that would be.
Yeah.
So JJ will be back next week. Good to have you, Bert.
Well, it's good to be here.
All right. We call this
Learn.
Here we go. We also call this Learning University. So it's pretty sad right there.
Especially Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University. Starring. Why do I want to say that?
Starring Bert Harper.
Oh, yes. Oh,
Tim Wilde.
You're the best I've ever heard at that. JJ does the 1960s, 50s and 60s TV show openings better than
also introducing Ed, Little Eddie Vitagliano.
And two Eds are better than...
two Eds are better than one, yeah.
All right, Trivia Friday it is. What we're going to do is ask trivia questions, three. We're going to ask three each, and then you're going to call in and answer and ask. That's what we prefer. Answer one of our trivia questions and ask us a trivia question. Today, the rule is if you haven't been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks, you're eligible to call in and participate, be on the air with us. So,
888-589-8840. That is the key that unlocks the door to what your heart's been looking forward to all week long, folks, being on this show with us, 888-589-8840. We do ask that you be 11 years old or older to call in. We do not have a limitation on the top number. You can be as old as you'd like and call in. And one of these nine questions, Brother Bert, is kind of special. What's up with it?
Mystery question. And if you answer the mystery question correctly, you'll hear this sound.
Yes, the beloved cowbell.
And what else?
The world will know.
Yeah.
You've won yourself an AFR ball cap / trucker hat / farmer hat. I don't know. It's a nice AFR ball cap's what I call it, and we will send it your way. Compliments of American Family Radio if you answer the trivia question.
And it is getting a little cold out there across the country. You may need to wear some earmuffs with it. But
we don't have any AFR earmuffs.
We don't.
Not yet.
You can buy your own.
Yeah.
You can buy your own earmuffs. All right. So there is that all the ground rules?
I think that is 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And again, if you have not been on with us for the last eight weeks, you are now free to try to call in.
Yes. All right. Go ahead, Ed.
All right. Here are my three questions. First question, Mackinac Island, Michigan.
I don't think that's the name of it, but go ahead.
Am I mispronouncing
it? Yeah, you are.
Oh, what?
I think it's Mackinac.
Mackinac?
Yeah, I think. Okay. How's it spelled?
M-A-C-K-I-N-A-C.
I don't know. I've seen it mentioned on TV. You know, here I am correcting you within 60 seconds of starting. And I need to stop that. That's not a good trait.
However, you do know more about Michigan than I do. I'm going to go with Mackinac. Because
it's probably
spelled this way, but it's an Indian name.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go with Mackinac Island, Michigan, is famous for being the only city in the U.S. that does not allow what? Mackinac Island, Michigan is famous for being the only city in the U.S. that does not allow what? All right, second question. In the Christmas classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and by the way, folks, until Christmas, you're going to have a bunch of these because I found a place that has all these questions about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I'm bringing them every Friday. So in that Christmas classic, what was the name of the talking snowman who narrated the story? Now, I'm not talking about the actor's name, the character's name. What was the character's name, the talking snowman who narrated the story, also sang a couple of songs? And then third, a Bible question. At the Last Supper, how did Jesus reveal the one who would betray him? At the Last Supper, how did Jesus reveal the one who would betray him? All right.
Okay. Here's my three. I've got to go with a Christmas question as well.
Sure.
But it's a little, I think it's pretty simple. What is the other name for reindeer? There's another name for reindeer. What is it? And Ooh. It's not Dasher, Prancer, or any of those now. It is the official name of reindeer. And also, Bible question, Christmas. We know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. What is the meaning of Bethlehem? It has a meaning, and
that's mentioned in the Bible, too.
Yes, it is. It is. And then the Andrew Griffith, I was over there talking to some guys, and they knew I was going to be on it, and they said, what's your Andy Griffith show question? So I have to go with that, Tim.
Sure. Okay. Look forward to it.
Okay, here it is. On the Andrew Griffith show, name at least two of Andy's girlfriends who were on multiple shows besides Helen Crump. Now, we know Helen, man, she was there and never did marry in the right. series, but when they started Mayberry RFD,
yes.
they were married during that period of time, but never married.
Were they on that Griffith show, Mayberry RFD?
The first show where they got married. Oh, okay. It was kind of introduction to it. Sure was.
Who got married?
Andy and Helen. They got Andy Griffith and Helen Crump, the school teacher. They got married on the Mayberry RFD. The show that was a, follow-up.
Spinoff.
Spinoff. Okay. Yeah. But here it is. On the Andrew Griffith Show, name at least two of Andy's girlfriends who on multiple shows were his girlfriend besides Helen Crump.
So, excellent question.
Yeah, it's two. There's only two of them. Can you name them?
Yeah. And they're his girlfriend on multiple shows.
Yeah. In other words, he had a show where he dated someone, not those, but those that were on multiple shows.
Yeah. All right, here are my three questions. The movie The Sound of Music is shown during the Christmas. It's usually shown on Christmas Day, isn't it?
A lot of times. I haven't seen it in ages.
It used to be shown on Christmas Day, in the evening. I think so.
Well, what happened, a few of these, my favorite things, has been adopted as a kind of a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And so I think it's been related to it
anyway.
Is that
song from The Sound of Music?
Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So the question I have is, how many children are in the Von Trapp family in the Sound of Music movie? How many children, if you can get that without looking it up? Well, I don't know. Is that too easy?
I don't know the answer to it.
Okay, if you can get that without looking it up, we'll send you an AFR ball cap. How about that?
That sounds great.
All right, my second question is, there is an American city that shares a name with an ancient capital of an empire in North Africa, and it's also mentioned in the Bible. Name that city. There's an American city that shares a name with an ancient capital in an empire in North Africa, mentioned in the Bible. What is the name of that city? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I got you.
I think I know the answer to that one.
And finally, why do blue jeans have tiny pockets? Remember that? You know that one?
I put coins in there.
You stick your thumb down in there, and you wonder, what in the world is this for?
Thumb carrier. Thumb carrier.
Okay, well, maybe it's for the reason you mentioned. I don't know. I'm not going to say yes or no. But I want to know, what's the original purpose of the tiny pockets in blue jeans? What is the original purpose?
And they only have one. It's not on both sides.
Right. Yeah.
It's on one side.
That is true.
There was a reason for that when blue jeans were first created. I want to know that.
And I shouldn't have said what I said. God,
that's
all
right.
Because I don't even know the answer.
That may or may not be the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, let's go in.
Okay. All right. Brother Bert's going to be our guest introducer.
Let's go to North Carolina. Todd, thank you for calling.
Thank you. It's good to be back on.
Well, we knew
Todd.
It's been 8 weeks, huh?
Yes, actually 9 weeks.
Nine weeks.
So, Todd, how's life treating you there in North Carolina?
Seagrove.
Doing good. It's cold like it is down there in Mississippi, so it's supposed to be like in the low to mid-40s for the high today.
Yeah, same here. Same here. And we've got our annual Christmas parade. It's going to be like 28 or 20 or 30 or something like that, which I'm not looking forward to it. You know what I'm saying? I've got to go because my granddaughter's on a float.
I was going to say, why are you going?
Well, one of my many granddaughters and children are on a float, and so they're going to be throwing candy out. So
you can't skip that.
I got to be there.
If there's a ballet recital or some other school program, guess what? Grandpa and grandma got to be there.
But our Christmas parade here in Tupelo, at least, is like an hour and a half. I mean, it's you know, so you got to sit there. Anyway, I sound like I don't like Christmas parades. I do like Christmas parades.
It's cold.
I like Christmas parades when it's 53 degrees, not 30. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to complain about it. All right, anyway, what do we got for you? What do we got for our brother?
Todd, you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'd like to do both.
Yeah. Okay, which question?
Well, I was trying to decide between your question and Ed's Bible question, but I think I'll do Ed's.
All right, so here it is, Todd, at the Last Supper. How did Jesus reveal the one who would betray him?
It said it would be the man that would dip in the sop after him.
Yes, and pass it to him. Woo. That is correct. Todd, I am shocked. Yeah. Just about every time you get on the program and answer one, it's usually the mystery question. But it wasn't this time. I mean,
you missed it.
You missed it. I'm shocked. But anyway, you got the question, the answer correct.
Hey, you got a question for us, Todd?
Yes, I do. I have a two-part Old Testament question for you this time around. The first question, if they're connected to each other. The first question is, who was the longest reigning king in the southern kingdom of Judah? And the second part of the question is, how many years did he reign?
Alex, over to you.
Yes. Hey, that sounds familiar. Did you know I coined that phrase?
Yeah, I know
you did.
Know. Yeah. Wow, so the question, again, repeat the question real quickly because I'm trying to.
Okay, the first, excuse me. Uh-huh. The first question is, who was the longest reigning king in the southern kingdom of Judah?
All right.
And the second part of the question is, how many years did he reign?
Okay, Bert, if you can get that, I got an AFR hat for you over here, brother.
Is it Manasseh? Is it Manasseh or Hezekiah? Manasseh?
Yeah, you're right on that. You're correct on
Manasseh.
That.
All right, way to go, Bert. Okay. Now how many years?
Okay.
How many years?
I know 40 years was there one time, and then he got an extension. 55 years.
Correct.
Whoa, Bert. High five, man. Way to go, brother.
Yeah.
Dude, Bert and I did the white man high five here in the studio.
Yeah, and I'm good at it.
And we missed.
I missed. Right in the middle of
it. First high five, we missed each other
right
here.
Right in the middle of it.
Thumb here.
Both of them smacked me in the head.
But anyway, that was a great question, and Bert, way to come through on the answers.
That was amazing.
Well, hang around Alex long enough, and you learn some things.
Pick up a few things.
Yeah. All right.
So somebody did win an AFR hat.
Yeah, here you go, Bert. Here's your travel cap. Here's your ball cap.
Oh, man. I've been wanting to buy one. Now Jan won't have to buy it for me for Christmas. Yeah, I got it made, man.
All right, Todd, you have a great Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Todd.
Always good to hear from Todd.
Okay. You ready for the next one?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Let's go to Alabama, and it's Larry. Larry, thank you for calling.
Yeah, man. Good to be back with you guys.
Well, it's good to have you.
Larry, been a while.
Yeah. Do you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'm going to attempt both.
Okay. Which question?
Well, I don't have a lot of faith in any of them this go-round, but I'm going to try the blue jeans and just take a stab at it.
I put my blue jeans on. I put my blue
one leg at a time.
Isn't there a
man.
Song? Isn't there a song like that? Isn't there a song?
I've never heard it.
You know, any of y'all know what I'm talking about?
No.
I put
if there is one,
got
it's
her blue jeans
it,
on.
Yeah. there's yeah, and then there's also Neil Diamond, Forever what? In Blue Jeans.
Oh,
you've heard that one. All right, here's the question. Type in "I put my blue jeans on." I think there's a song like that. Anyway, here's the question who's on with
this
that?
Is Larry.
That's Larry.
Larry that Larry's going to answer. The question is, why do blue jeans? What's the original purpose for blue jeans having tiny pockets, Larry?
Well, I think you're talking about the one pocket that's usually on the right side of the blue jeans.
Yes.
And I'm going to say it's for a pocket watch.
You got Ooh. It.
Oh, oh,
you got it. What made you think? What made you think of that?
Well, I know that it's not good for hardly anything else, and they didn't have wrist watches back in those days. I don't think so.
Right. That's right. That's right. No, you're on to it. This was the small pocket is actually called a watch pocket. I'm reading now, because it was originally intended as a safe place for men to store their pocket watches. It dates back to Levi's first ever pair of jeans, which hit the market in 1879.
Wow.
So 1879, men carried pocket watches, no wrist watches yet, as you say. And so that's where they stored them.
Huh.
That's it. Yeah. Way to go. Way to go, Brother Larry.
Now we're back to carrying our phones in our pockets.
I know, right?
True.
And it's not quite. Oh, now you have places for cell phones in your pockets.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, so, Larry, you got a question for us?
Yeah. Probably pretty simple. Who released the song Blue Suede Shoes before Elvis Presley?
At Carl Perkins.
I believe it is.
Carl, I'm going with these two guys. Carl. They said Carl Perkins, Larry.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Boy, you guys are on fire.
Wasn't he the one? Carl Perkins, he made it. He wrote it, right? He wrote it.
I think it was from Jackson, Tennessee, too. And so they that's it.
A little side note to that is Carl Perkins' version hit number one. And Elvis Presley's version didn't make it into the top 10.
Well, here's another thing that a lot of people don't know. Carl Perkins was considered first to be the lead singer for Kiss until they picked Gene Simmons.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. Man. I thought the fact that I picked Kiss would just give it away.
Yeah, it was a giveaway.
I was waiting.
I was joking about my, are you serious? Okay. You serious, Clark?
You serious, Clark?
All right, Brother Larry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Great question, Larry.
Okay, let's stay in Alabama and go to Greg. Greg, thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning. You want to ask, answer, or both?
Can you do that?
I want to answer and ask.
Okay, that sounds good. Do you know which question you're going to try to answer?
Another name for a reindeer.
Okay, here it is.
Now I'm interested in this one myself.
Okay, there is another name for reindeer. What is it?
Caribou.
Is that right? Yeah, that's exactly right.
Caribou.
Yeah.
I didn't know caribou were the same.
Yeah, they're the
reindeer.
Same, and a lot of it, really, caribou is the more official name. Now, they've got... You know how those scientific names are, you know? That's long, but caribou is the other name for a reindeer.
I had no idea those were the same, one and the same.
Caribou. Caribou. I for Christmas, reindeer sounds better.
Yes. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Because I could make a bad song that caribou ran over grandma.
that doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound right. Okay. Good. Great. Hey, Greg, you got a question for us?
I do. How many, it's kind of two-part, how many U.S. presidents never won an election? There's a number. And then on top of that, who was the most recent president of the United States that did not win an election?
Okay.
Okay. Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford.
Well, Gerald Ford, I'm guessing Okay, so you'd have to figure, because he became president but did not win re-election. So right. You'd have to ask, okay, what about LBJ?
He won the second election.
He won in second 64 and then dropped out
yeah.
and decided not to run.
He would have been one of the nine because he did serve as president.
Okay, so I'm going to say the answer is nine.
It is nine. I just gave it away.
Yeah. I jumped on that
professors.
A duck and a June bug.
Yeah.
Nine. That's.
Do you know the names? Have you got the names of them, Greg?
I don't have the names. Okay. I just did a little research. John Tyler was one. I didn't go through all of them.
So it must be all those who took office after an assassination or a death in office.
And then did not win. Have to be that
or way. Resignation.
Right. Or resignation.
Yeah.
Like in Ford's case.
Like in Ford's case. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, that's actually
that was interesting.
Greg, that is a great question. Excellent historical question. And it teaches folks a little bit about our political system.
Yeah, it does. Well, you know, if they ran as vice president, they still didn't win the election as president. But they were elected along with the president. You catch what I'm saying?
Oh, that's so like Kamala Harris, you're saying?
Yeah, they were elected when the president was elected. They were on the ballot as vice president. But they weren't elected president. They were elected vice president.
But they had to serve as president at some point. Okay.
Yeah. It sure is. Okay. Let's go to the next caller. I think we have time. And it's Mike in North Carolina. Mike, thank you for calling.
Mike, you there? Mike, you're going to need to turn your radio down so that there's no confusion.
Hey, Mike. We hate to hang up, but are you there? Okay. You ready to go to the next one, Tim? Or
yeah, boy, Mike's. Sorry about that, Mike.
I am. I hate that.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear us.
Okay. Let's go to West Virginia, and it's Douglas. Douglas, thank you for calling.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, Douglas, where are you calling from?
West Virginia. I am calling from Elkins, West Virginia, and it's snowing here. And I'm just trying to figure out how I can ship some of this stuff down to you all. Y'all have a snowbite fight.
Oh, man. Hey, listen.
Anyway.
I love snow. Just a little bit. Don't like much, but I
was born and raised here on a dairy farm, and then I lived in Florida and come back here, and I can't take the cold no more.
I hear you, brother.
I will definitely ship it to you.
I'll get an
airmail, put it on a train. You could have a boxcar of it if you want to.
Wouldn't bother me but if anyway, it was summertime all year. Yeah, go ahead.
I love this show. I tell you what, God has a sense of humor when he puts all you together. You can be late for dinner, you can be late for up, but you're not going to be late for a broadcast.
Well, hey, we
do appreciate it. We love our listeners, and we enjoy this too, getting to exchange pleasantries, have a little fun.
We really do. Hey, Doug.
I love listening to AFR because I tell you what, it's inspiring, and you learn a lot if you just listen.
Yes.
Okay.
And I tell you what, I would. That's the only radio station I listen to. I used to be an old Rockford and Roll Catholic, but you guys are the best.
Well, hey, can you hold on? Need you hold on? If we're the best. You'll hold on.
We gotta get the money to come in.
We gotta take a break.
Gotta take a little break.
Take a little break right here.
And then we'll be back, Douglas. Yeah. Hang in there.
Yeah, take a little break. We'll be back with Douglas from West Virginia after this short timeout. Stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
You therefore must be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Let me share with you a story that happened to me many, many years ago. My study was located in a storage room, or what was supposed to be a storage room, directly behind our home. It was a very small room to begin with, and once I put my books and supplies and machines in it, I could hardly turn around. It was really too small, but it was the best we could come up with at the moment, and I had to bear with it until better days came along. One day I was having one of those days when everything seemed to go wrong. You've had them, I know. We all have. It was a day when I wished, and most folks around me wished, that I'd stayed in bed. My desk was covered over with matters that needed my attention, correspondence was lagging, and there were other matters pressing. Well, I was sitting in my study, half mad at myself and half mad at my lack of space. Then, without knocking, in came my son, Timmy, and proceeded to sit down behind me. I started to turn and tell him there wasn't room for him in the study, but I waited, for I knew that if I spoke at that particular moment, I would be harsh with him. So I went about my work, listening as he began taking paper from the wastebasket and books from the shelf. He nearly lit a fuse when he spoke. "Daddy," he said, "do you have a pen?" Well, I reached into my pocket and gave him my pen. I then tried to continue my work, but it seemed that every time I turned around, I bumped into him. So, my temperature rising, I turned to scold him and send him back into the house, and upon turning, I was stopped cold by what I saw. Timmy had laid out before him some old papers he'd taken from the trash can, some of my books from the bookshelf, and with a pen in hand, he was marking on a sheet of paper. He'd made himself a makeshift desk that was in something of a mess. Now, most of the time when Timmy wanted to know what I was doing out in the study, I told him that I'm studying. I looked at him there. He paused for a moment and looked up, and after thinking for a few seconds, he began to write again. "What are you doing, son?" I asked him. He looked at me in the eyes only a son can do, and then gave me his answer with a little grin on his face. "I'm studying, Daddy." Well, I didn't say anything else to him. I turned back around and pretended to go back to work. But I didn't do much work for the next few minutes. I just sat there thinking about how proud I was of my son. It made me feel just as big as a man can get to know that my son wanted to be like me to do what I do. Then a greater truth came to me. My Creator was telling me that this was really what he wanted from me. He wanted me to be like him. I still think about that often, how good he must feel when we act like him, do what he does, act like we are one of his children. Wouldn't it be a good world, I say to myself, if we wanted to be like him as much as Timmy wanted to be like his father? It sure would.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand God, any who seek God. Psalm 14, verse 2.
American Family Radio.
Neil Diamond. We had a question about blue jeans earlier, so I said, why don't we play that song, a little bit of that song from, most people know that song. They thought, what happened to AFR? Are we golden oldies? Playing the golden oldies today? No, Neil Diamond, who was known as the Jewish Elvis, by the way.
Is that right? That was his nickname?
Yeah, that was his song.
Great voice.
But the question we had earlier is, why do jeans have tiny pockets, blue jeans? And the answer is, to carry, this was in the 1800s originally, to carry pocket watches. So we have on with us Douglas from West Virginia. We were ready to, are we Q&A right here? We're ready to go with that?
We're ready to
ready to go. Okay, Douglas, which question you want to answer?
Yeah, I'm still here watching the snow come down. And one thing amazing about snow is there's no two flakes the same. So God is awesome.
Amen.
That's true, although nobody can prove that. everybody just says it. How do you even prove that?
That those two
like snowflakes? There's a snowflake in Alaska that's not the same as the one in West Virginia, and we know this?
Yeah, what happens if you run into yourself?
Yeah, well, you got problems.
Well, as long as I don't run into myself at the buffet, all will be good.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, when I see it, I want to eat it.
Hey, Douglas, which question you want to answer?
I'm going to do the one with Bethlehem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. What is the meaning of Bethlehem?
House of bread.
That is right. Way to go. It is house of bread.
I was going to go.
Or house of food, either one.
So it has nothing to do with David?
No, Bethlehem was there. Now, listen, the history of Bethlehem is awesome when you think about who was raised there, who worked there. Ruth came back, and Boaz. It's an amazing little town. And when we were over there in Israel, we got to spend the night in Bethlehem in place
really?
Of Jerusalem. We stayed in Bethlehem, and it was awesome. It really was. But Bethany is Beth. If you see Beth, you know it's house off.
Right.
And then the latter part of it will tell you the house of what.
Right.
And so this is where the bread of life was born, in the house of bread.
Yeah, I love it.
That'll preach, Ed.
Yes, it will.
Okay. Hey, Douglas, you got a question for us?
Yes, sir. He's a mastermind. Y'all start a Bible Jeopardy.
Bible Jeopardy. I don't know. There's some really hard questions when folks call in. So.
Yeah, but you all are amazing how you all come. I guess you got the whole Bible to think about it. But anyway, my question is, where in the Bible did this individual ask God to repent from his wrath?
We're in the Bible. What now?
We're in the Bible.
What individual in the Bible asked God to repent from his wrath?
Because, of course, the word repent means to. Sometimes we think it only has to do with turning away from sin. God doesn't. He doesn't sin. In this case, it means to change his mind.
Yeah.
So, all right, Douglas. Cool. So, hang on 1 second. We're going to talk amongst ourselves here. Was it Moses when
That's the one that came to my mind. He wanted to destroy them and start all over with Moses, and Moses asked him to not do that.
Yeah.
He repented of what he thought. I know that's where it is. I know that one's in there.
I would have changed words right there if I was approaching God. You know what I'm saying? If I was advising him, I would say I wouldn't go with asking God to repent.
Yeah. I don't think you'd say repent or perish. Yeah, I don't think that would be on your lips.
Change his mind.
Yeah.
Hey, was it Moses, Douglas?
Correct.
Okay.
Way to go, Bert. Right. Way to go, Bert. I knew we had you in here for a reason.
Amen.
This is preordained.
Yes.
Right here. Am I right, Ed?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Hey, right, thank you, Douglas.
When he was on Mount Sinai and God is giving him the instructions and he'd been up there like 40 days and God's really, giving him the instructions on how to do everything. But at the meantime, the Jewish people that he brought out of Egypt through the Exodus, they were a bunch of stiff-necked people and God saw what they were doing. He wanted to destroy them. He asked him to repent from his wrath. He said, why would you bring them all the way out of here and you want to destroy them?
That's right. Yeah. It was an amazing story. Yeah. Thank you, Douglas. Appreciate that, man. Hope the snow lets up a little bit.
All right, we need to repeat our questions, fellas.
All right. Excuse me. And I'm going to add a question. I've had one answered. So Mackinac Island, Michigan is famous for being the only city in the U.S. that does not allow what? Second question, in the Christmas classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or maybe Red-Nosed Caribou, I can put that in there, what was the name of the talking snowman who narrated the story? And I'm talking about the character's name, not the actor. And I'll add one, when is George Washington's birthday? When is George Washington's birthday? That's all I've got.
Okay. Here's the one that's been repeated. I got two new ones. On the Andy Griffith Show, name at least two of Andy's girlfriends who appear on multiple shows, and this is besides Helen Crump. There were two others besides Helen. What were their names? And here is a question, and I love grouped animals, the names of them. What is a group of camels called? What is a group of camels called? And the NFL's going on right now, and, man, the Detroit Lions,
yes.
What a turnaround. I just got to say a word about that. This is not about them, but
isn't
it amazing?
They might go all the way.
They may do it. Here's the NFL question. Which NFL team has the logo located only one side of their helmets? There's one NFL team that has their logo located on only one side of the helmets. Who is it?
Oh, that's your pronunciation of Detroit.
It comes out.
I do the same. I think native Southerners do call Detroit, which is
Detroit.
Detroit. And I'm just thinking, if you're living in Michigan, you're just laughing your head off.
Yeah, you are. Listen, my North Mississippi comes out. I try to hold it
right in,
but it's there. So, thank you, Tim.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. You know, Bert, you can drive from Detroit
to Chicago.
All the way down to Chicago.
Chicago.
I mean, about 4 or 5 hours.
And you hope the police don't pull you over.
Right. And then you want to get home, you go through Illinois. All right. So here we go. Here are my questions. How many children are in the Von Trapp family in the music in the movie The Sound of Music? How many Von Trapp children are there, you know, that sing with Julie Andrews, right?
Right.
The second question I have is, so listen closely. This American city, which is well known, shares a name with the capital of an ancient empire in North Africa that's mentioned in the Bible. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I will add a third one since we're 45 minutes away from the show. Which northeastern state was not one of the 13 original colonies? There's a state in the northeastern part of the country that was, oddly enough, not one of the 13 original colonies. All right, let's go to the phones, Ed.
Okay. Let's go to Texas and talk to Matt. Matt, thank you for calling. Matt,
hello?
Yeah, Matt, you're on. Go right ahead. Are you wanting to answer or ask or both?
I'm going to do both, please.
Okay, which question you want to answer?
I'm going to do the Andy Griffith question.
Okay, here it is. On the Andy Griffith Show, name at least two, or I could say the two, girlfriends that Andy dated on multiple shows besides Helen Crump.
Okay, it's Eleanor Walker.
That is correct.
Okay, and I don't know the last name of the nurse, but it was Peggy.
That is correct.
Woo!
Way to go.
Oh, right.
You won the hat. You won the ball cap.
Yeah, here it is. Let me hold that up. Right. Let me have that.
For those watching on the internet, the show today, today's issues, so you can see the cap we're holding up. That's going to be shipped to Matt, Brother Matt, in Texas.
So that means you need to hang on, Matt, and let's get your address so we can get it to you. Her last name is McMillan, Peggy McMillan, and she was on season 3. And that was his girlfriend during that
period
of
time. For several episodes.
She's the one that wanted to give Rafe Hollister the shot.
Yes.
Okay.
That's great.
They're great.
That's a great episode.
Those of you that don't know the Andy Griffith Show, get a life.
You will not regret it.
You will not. Did you just know that, Matt? Are you Andy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That is fantastic.
I watch it every day.
Okay. Hey.
What is it on, like TV Land or something?
Or
several places.
It is, but there's also a streaming
Paramount
called Pluto.
Oh, Pluto. That's right. They do too.
Yep.
Okay. And
they have a whole Andy Griffith channel.
Yeah.
It's nothing but Andy Griffith all the time.
Way to go. Hey, what's your question for us?
Okay. So I got another Andy Griffith question, and it's on the episode Opie's Fortune, I believe. What is the name of the person, the man who lost the $50 in the purse? Answer.
Oh, where he was just waiting until the time was up so he could claim it. And
yeah, I cannot think of his name.
There's no way I'll be able to come up with that.
I just can't. It's there. it's right there at the front of my tongue. Brain, tip of my tongue, but I can't
when
pull it out.
When he says it, I'll know it.
Yes.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt. Yeah. Who is it?
It's Parnell Rigsby.
Rigsby.
It comes right back to you now, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, he had a sad last. I mean, he recovered, but he had some drug problems.
Well,
a lot of people don't know about.
And his wife Eleanor.
I guess I'm
wrong. Eleanor Rigsby. She, you know.
Yeah.
That was a tough.
Well, she was his supplier. But they got.
You know
they,
what I'm
no,
talking
they,
about? Eleanor
got,
Rigsby.
Yeah, they got back together.
The Beatles.
They got through rehab and everything worked out in the end. So I mean, there's a happy ending to that story.
It is. It's just an encouragement to everyone.
Yes.
You can overcome.
Right. You can recover.
Yeah. Recovery is possible.
Yeah. Hey Matt, we'll put you on hold.
Okay. Yeah.
Matt,
he needs to get the hat.
Put on hold.
Yeah, I put him on hold so we can get his information. And Cindy Roberts will get that.
Okay.
And Matt, we will get that hat out to you. And hopefully you'll get it by Christmas 2025.
What were the names again? First names of these ladies?
You're talking about Peggy McMillan and then Ellie Walker.
Ellie Walker was the pharmacist. That was the first year. Her real name was Eleanor
Donahue.
Oh,
okay.
Who was on Father Knows Best as the oldest daughter.
Yeah. I got you.
And then Peggy comes along, and she's the county nurse. But Andy had some one-time dates with individuals, you know.
Right.
But those are the only three that was ongoing.
As did most of us. Most of us had
one-time dates.
Well, one-time dates.
One just was enough.
It just didn't work out.
Okay. Hey.
All right, let's go back to the phones, Brother Bert, before I get myself in trouble.
Yeah, in Arkansas, it is Roger. Roger, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Are you bowling?
How are you doing today?
Yeah. Hey,
no,
we're doing good, Roger. Thanks.
I'm sitting in my truck. It's probably the heater.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, thanks for calling, Roger. Where do you live in Arkansas?
A little town called Stevens. It's close to Magnolia, Camden, and El Dorado.
Okay.
South Central.
South Central part, yeah. Okay, do you want
to? Hey, I may have mentioned this before. My wife's. But when she was a child, they lived in Camden for a while.
Yeah, that's 18 miles from me.
Okay, well, my father-in-law, he's since passed, but this would have been in the 60s. He worked at a defense. They made ammunition there.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Is that still in existence?
They still do.
Okay, well.
Wow.
They make missiles, and they put, I think they have something to do with that Iron Dome that goes in Israel.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, I didn't know that was still around, but that's in Camden, the Camden, Arkansas area. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they just got a new thing from the government for multi-millions of dollars, a missile of some kind.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't test it around you, do they, Roger?
I hope not.
You don't get it flying over your house or nothing, right? There goes another missile they're testing.
That's right. As long as it doesn't fall short, we're going to have a happy Christmas.
Yeah.
Hey, Roger, you want to answer a question or do both? Answer and ask.
Do both.
Okay, which question you want to answer?
The city in North Africa.
Okay, thank you for answering this question, or at least taking a stab at it. Here you go, Roger. For those just tuning in, here's the question Roger's about to answer. This American city shares a name with the capital of an ancient empire in North Africa and mentioned in the Bible. What is the name of this city?
I think Cairo.
Okay, so I looked this up. Cairo, Illinois, right?
Right.
It's where the Ohio and the Mississippi rivers come together.
Correct.
But it wasn't the capital.
And it wasn't mentioned in the Bible, was it?
Now, that I don't know, but it wasn't the capital of this place, Okay.
Okay.
That is a good guess, because that's a good guess. I would just say that.
You're going to make it a little bit easier for someone else.
Right.
The last four or five questions, I know the answer to.
Oh. Well, that was a good stab. It really
was, yeah.
But not quite. Hey, what's your question for us?
Okay, there's actually five different kinds of iron ore. Can you name three of them?
Five different kinds of what?
Iron ore.
He said it different.
Iron ore?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear you say it again.
Say it again, Roger.
Five different kinds of iron ore.
Yeah. You know you got a deep South accent when somebody from Mississippi wants to hear you say it again.
Well,
that's all right, iron ore.
They mind that in Detroit.
I know. Iron ore, Roger. All right, Ed, this is on you, Ray. I think this is right down your alley. Didn't you do good in chemistry?
I did, but... like a lot of students, I learned it so I could pass the test, and then whoosh, it was gone. So
I have no idea.
Okay, hold on. So your question, your question is, there are five kinds of iron ore, and you're asking what they are? Is that
three
the
of them?
Three of them?
Three of them.
Oh, wow.
All right. Look, we're not going to be able to, I don't think we'll be able to get it unless, give us one. I can't even think about what
kickstart our brains.
Kickstart us here. What? Just give us one.
Hematite.
Oh, all right. Well,
hold on a minute. Okay. Hey, they were in the Bible. They fought the Canaanites.
The Hematites.
They came up from the north. Do you remember that battle?
It was the Jebusites, right. The Hematites, the Hittites.
Yeah, they used iron ore and they catapulted it.
That's right.
Over into the fort.
When you said Hematite, I realized man.
We don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know. Roger, something. Go ahead, brother. What is it?
Well, I actually worked in iron mines. You could take a magnet and stick it on the wall anywhere you wanted to, and it'd stick.
Wow.
And that was called magnetite. And then there was a lamatite and a cellulite, and then a pyrite, which I don't think they ever used pyrite for anything that I know of.
But what was the fourth one?
Stemolite.
Stemolites?
That's like some people get that vacuumed out if they got, too much in their legs or something.
Yeah, right.
Cellulite. That's it.
I just know my mom always told me to eat my Stemolites before you get up from the table. You better finish your Stemolites.
Roger, I got to
say. Put iron in your blood.
Yeah. Every one of those sounded like some tribe out of the Bible.
That was a good question,
the
though,
Lamanites.
Roger.
Thank you, Roger. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much.
That was great.
Okay, let's go to Texas and talk to Rose. Rose, thank you for calling.
How are y'all doing today?
Doing good. I just got to ask this. Are you from Tyler?
Tyler? No,
yeah.
I'm from Texarkana.
Oh, okay. It's the Tyler Rose.
Tyler has those rose
bubbles.
Yeah,
and I thought you might be the Tyler Rose.
Hey, you know Jeff Shreve?
I know of him.
Okay.
I don't go to his church.
He's the pastor there at First Baptist Church. I didn't know if you had any dirt.
Oh man!
On him because he's a good friend of mine, and I need something.
Yes, so, I hear him on the radio occasionally.
Yeah. You've seen him out at a bar or something.
I'm from Arkansas, but I happen to live on the Texas side now.
Okay.
But anyway, I want to answer the question about Michigan.
Okay, Rose. Here's the question. Mackinac Island, Michigan, is famous for being the only city in the U.S. that does not allow what? What do you say, Rose?
Well, it's kind of like Gilligan's Island. There are no motor cars.
That's exactly correct.
Right.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
no
right.
cars. Now, do you know, did Tim have it right? Is it Mackinac Island?
Okay, it is Mackinac Island. That is a French spelling.
Okay.
Now, if you're on the mainland of the Lower Peninsula, it is actually spelled with an A-W at the end.
Oh.
But the island is A-C.
Yes, that's what I had. I had when I looked this up. It looks like it's Mackinac, but Tim does know a lot about Michigan, and so he said Mackinac. So I went with that. So you're saying it is Mackinac. That's how they pronounce it.
That's how it's pronounced.
Yeah. And yes. And so,
you've got the
island.
The French spelling is the island, and the English spelling is A-W. And it is actually something about turtles. If you look it up, it's the island of turtles.
Have you been there?
I was there last summer with an old folks tour.
I like the way you describe that. That's the tour with many stops.
I went with a lovely, lovely group from a church in Whitehall, Arkansas.
Okay.
Some friends of mine. I don't live there, but there's some relatives of mine, and it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. We actually also went up to the Sioux Lock up farther up, and that's also a French spelling. That's S-A-U-L-T, which is pronounced Sioux instead of salt.
Oh, okay.
But all right. So how long were y'all gone? How many of you were there?
Well, there was about a half a bus full, charter bus, and I guess there were about 25 of us.
Yeah.
And it was very nice. It was a bunch of Christian folks from a church.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, man, Mackinac Island, my parents went there, and they loved it. And it's a special place, and because of no cars, got to the island.
Yes. We were there when the lilacs were blooming, and it's beautiful in the fall, I understand. And there's also some minor snow slopes there.
Yeah.
It's probably very nice in the winter as well. Lots of snow.
Yeah. Okay. No, well, not for me.
Tim's not a big winter guy.
Anyway, Rose, thanks for calling.
Hey, do you have a question for us, Rose? Yeah.
Well, I have a question about Texarkana.
Okay.
Now, the Arkansas Razorbacks, I know that Tim loves the Razorbacks because they beat Mississippi State this year in football.
Yeah, we know that.
Thanks for bringing it up, Rose.
That's in the past.
That's what I couldn't help but rub it in.
Yeah, it's okay.
The Arkansas Razorbacks, it's a unique mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's lots and lots of Bulldogs, but they actually got their name from a high school. They had to get permission from that high school to use the Razorback mascot. What high school was that?
Suey High School.
What's Suey?
It was.
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
It was Texarkana, Arkansas.
Okay.
Texarkana, Arkansas were the Razorbacks first, and Texarkana is also, we have a post office that is on the state line where you can stand 1 foot in Arkansas and 1 foot in Texas, and you're in two places at once.
Hey, you know what's funny, Rose? I've stopped in Texarkana many times, most of the time driving to and from Dallas over the years. And we like to eat at a restaurant called On the Border.
And it's right there on the border?
It's on the border. Yeah, I don't know if it's physically, literally on the border, but it's Texarkana, Arkansas/Texas.
Oh.
You see what I did there?
Yeah, on the border.
Yeah, yes. It's fun. But anyway, Rose.
Bryce is closed, and it's no longer there, but we love Texarkana, USA.
Yeah, amen. It's great, great American city right there, Texarkana. And I didn't know it was the Texarkana Razorbacks.
I had no idea.
Okay. Either.
I knew they had to go somewhere to get that
name.
Thank
you, Rose.
We'll take a short time out. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.